listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow.
This is Empower the Spirit with Dr. Douglas Kelly.
Hello and good evening. Welcome to Empower the Spirit. Today is Sunday, October 2nd, 2011. I'm your host, Doug Kelly. So glad you could join us tonight. Empower the Spirit is a weekly broadcast of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science as part of our regular church services. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit. We welcome those who are listening to us live in the chat room and those listening to the archive. If you have a question tonight, you can ask it in the chat room. You can call us if you'd like. We have Reverend John Hightower screening calls as usual. Tonight we're going to be talking about the human ego and emotions. Are they good or bad? I'll have a special guest, Louis Bizarro, join me shortly. Also, we have our new weekly feature, Living Free, with Reverend Camille Edwards. She'll be talking about tips and techniques for better living with a focus on herbology. And then, of course, following that is Dr. Vicky's Psychic Perspective, and she will have special guest Dr. Catherine Hutton on. Dr. Vicky will be taking your calls and will answer questions from the chat room on different things, insights, spiritual insights, and so forth. So that's kind of the roundup for tonight. We'll get into to my topic, the human ego and emotions. And I'm getting messages that I'm fading. I'm going to continue. If my volume is continuing to fade, please let me know. Let's get into the topic of the human ego and emotions, good or bad. In a moment, I'll have Louis Bizarro join me for discussion on this. I wanted to just share some foundation on this before we get into a discussion. You know, when it comes to the ego, there's really no shortage of beliefs as to what it is, secularly, philosophically, religiously, and even New Age-wise. According to the dictionary, the Latin word ego basically means... Excuse me one second, I need to... Okay, I'm being told I'm fading, so I'm going to switch microphones real quick because I don't want to lose this stuff. So, give me one second. I'm being told I'm fading in and out, so... I'm going to switch to this microphone. I hope that's a little better, even though the quality is not as good. At least, hopefully, you can hear me. All right. According to the dictionary, the Latin word ego basically means the I or the self. It can mean one's self-esteem or even one's self-image, as in somebody's ego being wounded or bruised from some callous remark. Too much ego is called egotism, and it means having too high of an opinion of oneself. Same thing as conceit. There's also the concept of an alter ego in reference to dissociative identity disorder, and also it's used more loosely by superheroes in comic books. Now, from a secular point of view, Sigmund Freud developed a model in the early 20th century, which a lot of people are familiar with, consisting of the id, the ego, and the superego. The id contains the basic human drives, the passions, the impulses, and acts according to the pleasure principle. That is, it seeks to gain pleasure and avoid pain. It's amoral, it doesn't make any judgments, it acts instinctively. Now the superego is the opposite of the id, and it contains one's conscience, morality, and one's more sensible side. It punishes the actions of the id with feelings of guilt and remorse. So now you're stuck in the middle between the id and the superego is what the ego is, it's the ego. It tries to balance or please the two. It's a mediator between the id and the superego. It's essentially the slave of two masters, and it gets the raw end of the deal by being pulled in both directions simultaneously. Now, this is all Sigmund Freud's model. And this, by the way, is the
where the idea of an angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other shoulder comes from. Now, a common thread running through this whole thing of the ego, through most definitions of the ego, is that it needs to be transcended for enlightenment to occur. This is to allow self-knowledge of one's own true nature to become experienced and enacted in the world. That's a quote. Some even use the term no self to describe an egoless state. Now, I want to make some comments regarding the general consensus of beliefs on ego and enlightenment. This is very important to me. The predominant notion among most ego enlightenment philosophies is that the self is something undesirable and must be either suppressed or dissolved. And closely related to this, either directly or by implication, is that a person's individuality is also something undesirable and should be dissolved. The reason for this conclusion is because most of these principles use the word I and self when referring to the ego. Now, let me be very clear about this. There is much more to the I and the self than just the ego. I am much more than my ego. There is much more to your individuality than just your ego. Now, bear in mind here, I'm not talking about egotism or narcissism. I'm talking about managing one's ego in a healthy manner. Now, I'm passionate on this point because the thrust of religion has always been on devaluing the individual, either subtly or blatantly in one form or another. My position on this is that each one of us is unique and valuable, part of the greater human family. And for any institution, whether religious or otherwise, to denigrate and devalue the human being or human individuality is not only betraying humanity, in my opinion, it's committing a crime against humanity. Now, having said this, I'm positive that those who believe in denigrating the self would say that my, quote, ego is the problem here, and if I just lose it, then I'd understand. However, that's not going to happen. My ego is part of what makes me who I am, as does yours. It's entirely possible and desirable to achieve enlightenment through self-completeness and not sacrifice one's unique and distinctive soul to the popular gods of enlightenment. That's my statement. And now to discuss this, I would like to introduce Louis Pizarro. Reverend Louis Pizarro has studied Eastern and Western philosophy for many years, providing him with a solid understanding of the different schools of thought, differentiating philosophical and pragmatic views. He focuses on explaining metaphysical concepts in an easy-to-understand and relatable manner and promotes living in balance with oneself and with Gaia. Louis holds a bachelor's degree in engineering. He also holds master's degrees in metaphysical humanistic science, education, and business. And he's also an IMHS doctoral candidate. His diverse educational background allows him to provide a unique perspective to metaphysics that unifies professional, educational, and personal environments. Louis, welcome to the program. Great to have you.
Hello, Dr. Kelly. Thank you for having me, and thank you, everyone else, for making time tonight to be on the show.
Yeah, it's great to have you. Now, as I mentioned, Louis is a doctoral candidate and really has submitted some rather brilliant papers, although he wouldn't tell you himself. But, I can say that. And so, Louis, you were writing about the ego, I know, in one of the courses, Course 12 specifically, on human nature and psychology. And you have some definite concepts and ideas about not only the ego, but also the validity of human emotions, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
So what's your thoughts on the ego?
Well, I would say that my thoughts in the ego are basically the same thoughts that I have when it comes to many of other emotions that we feel. You know, I think that the fundamental problem really is that somewhere along the line, whether it is because of what we're taught or perhaps vocabulary, we tend to identify ourselves with those emotions. You know, we tend to kind of like converge the sense of self with these emotions instead of putting them in the right place. Now, I'll give you an example. Let's take something that has a negative connotation. Let's take anger. You know, most of the time you hear people say, "I am angry," instead of saying, "I feel anger." There's a fundamental difference between these two statements. One puts you in the rightful place of the master and puts the emotion in a place where it serves as a tool for you to experience the world, and the other one puts the emotion as the master of you. And I think that this is one of the things that happens with the ego, that we believe that that's all we are. My God, we're so much more than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. So your point is you need to manage your ego.
Absolutely. I mean, if I were to put this in practical terms, the fundamental question that I would ask is, if we as human beings, we're supposed to repress some of our emotions, some of our feelings, even do away with them, as some doctrines of dogmatic beliefs may have you think. Why did existence give us the genetic ability to feel such a wide range of emotions? To me, that doesn't make sense. I believe that the problem really comes up with how we manage them, how we balance them, and then at the end of the day, how we tend to sort of kind of like identify with them instead of using them as tools.
I'm with you. You know, if it almost goes back to, you know, if you have these emotions, you're supposed to get rid of them. Well, why do we have them if we're not supposed to find some benefit in them, if they're not supposed to serve us somehow? Obviously, in balance.
No, I'm sorry. Absolutely, I believe that it's a matter of you becoming aware that your emotions are not you; they are a tool to be used. And once you have them, and you're aware of them, or not once you have them, because you have them whether you like it or not, they're intrinsically yours. It's a matter of learning how to balance them and use them when necessary. It's like when we were talking the other day, and I was telling you that a lot of people may see anger as something that is bad. A lot of doctrines tell you, you know, work on your anger, get rid of your anger. Well, you know what? If I'm in a flight or fight situation and I need to find my way out of somewhere on a life-threatening situation, either to me or those ones close to me, and I have to stand and fight, I want to be as angry as I can possibly be to be able to make it through. Mm-hmm. So in this instance, is anger a bad thing? No, it's not. I used it and I apply it at the correct time.
And see, that's an excellent point. It's emotions, the ego, they're all there for a reason, for a purpose. And it's like anything else in life. You have to balance it. You know, you have to make it balanced. I'm hearing that I'm fading again. I'm just going to stick with this, and it might not be me. It might be a blog talk radio issue. So if I do fade out, then let me know in the chat room, and I'll do something. So we have to remain balanced on things, and including emotions. So, Lewis, in your experience, let's focus on the ego for a moment. What are your thoughts on enlightenment and the ego? Do we have to get rid of the ego to really become enlightened?
Absolutely not. I think that even if we look at it from a technical standpoint, which in some way makes sense, right? When you look at the id, that looks at, if we try to define it in Sigmund Freud's type of construct, if you may, when we look at the id and what it's supposed to do, right? Immediate satisfaction. When we look at the superego and what it's supposed to do, you know, bringing in morals and conscience, and then bringing the ego in the middle, that is supposed to be like, I guess in practical terms, you can look at it as a referee trying to decide which one is going to win that type of situation. I think that all of these things are there for a reason. We use them for a reason. These are our fillers, just like our bodies. You know, this body that I have is an interface, right, between the intangible, my consciousness, and the tangible, my perception of reality. Without this body, I couldn't experience hot, cold, weight. I couldn't have experienced any of these things. Mm-hmm. So I see emotions in the same exact place. Existence gave them to us for a reason. We just need to use them intelligently.
Well, you know, it's hard to put that any better. I mean, and that's, again, that's what it's all about. It's what life is about. I love that because I'm so tired of hearing how you basically have to lose your identity to become enlightened. You have to lose yourself. And I get it. I mean, I personally think that most religions teach this is because they want to own your soul. You know, they want your soul. You don't own your soul. They want it. And that's not what I teach. It's not what I believe. You need to own yourself and not let others own you. So what else do you think about on this topic of enlightenment, the soul, the ego, good or bad? Still with me? Still there, Lewis?
Oh, now I hear you. You faded. Okay, so you faded there for a bit.
Did I fade? Okay, I apparently really faded and came past. Okay, guys, I really don't know what the deal is with the whole thing tonight. It's getting a bit aggravating, though, I will tell you that. Let me switch to my other mic.
Now, if this is any better, it may not be the same quality, but at least hopefully it won't fade so much, so I'll try that. We do have a caller on the line, so give me a second. And Nancy, welcome to the program. You have a question for Lewis?
Well, it's been fading in and out also, and then between calling and the connection on the computer, I think we've skipped subjects since I formulated the question.
That's okay. Go ahead and ask your question.
But my question was for Lewis, and basically I'm asking, okay, so you're saying that you need the anger in certain situations. So what masters, and maybe Doug, you can answer this too, what masters or where in humanity or society have we lost that ability to be able to balance this, to be able to balance the spirituality and the cultural and be able to understand our emotions in a more positive way?
Go ahead, Lewis.
Hello, Nancy. First of all, welcome. Thank you for your question. Well, again, I really truly do believe that it's all about accountability, right? At one point or another, we actually started looking outwards instead of looking inwards. We started to lose our sense of those things that we're really responsible for, right? We hardly ever say, you know, the reason why I'm angry is because I have done this or I have done that. The reason why I hate this is because I have done this or I have done that. 9 times out of 10, we always take accountability and we shift it and we put it somewhere else. So my perception in that is that somewhere along the line, we started to also deflect our responsibility into outwardly things. So I think that if we come back in and we start taking accountability, responsibility for us, for our self-development, if we start becoming more aware of our emotions, because I think that emotions, believe it or not, I think that there's some intelligence in them. A lot of them at a fundamental level, we begin to feel them even before we realize that we're feeling them. You know, and that's all part of nature. That is all part of being intrinsically human. But the problem is, again, the moment that we forget that these are tools, we need to remember that that's all they are. They're just tools.
I agree. Okay, so if, and we all come from the same matter, we've all evolved from the basic particles. So do you believe that with everything that we're all going through, that, okay, you, Doug, me, everyone else listening to this, everyone going through this program, all the masters, do you think this can be a ripple effect that we can all become more aware and turn it more inward instead of outward?
Go ahead, Lewis, if you'd like.
I absolutely do. Actually, I have a number in mind there. And Nancy, in his 8,270 people that we need to turn around. I'll let you know later. I know you are, and I'll tell you later why I came up with that number. But it is, you know, human consciousness, okay, this is, we are connected at a level that sometimes we don't even know we are connected. We feel it, right? Somebody walks into a room, you feel their energy. Somebody walks out of the room, you feel either energized or you feel drained. We are connected, and if we, the ones that are trying to become aware, the ones that are trying to transcend a lot of these things, we start radiating more of the positive energy, then the same effect that some of these people have on us when they either walk in and out of a room, we're going to have somebody else. I remember walking through the airport one time, and I kept looking at this gentleman. He has such a smile in his face, and it's almost like he was just lit up from head to toe. And I have never forgotten that. And it's been many, many, many years of that. And the first thing that came into my mind is, what does he know that I do not?
Good answer. Thank y'all.
And I'll even weigh in on this thing. I think you'd ask, and I don't know if it was addressed or not, Nancy, is when did we lose the ability to do this? I don't know that we ever lost it. I don't know that we as a race have ever gained it. I think there have been many, many people who have over the courses of millennia, and that's our job, is to raise awareness, It's to promote healthy thinking, devoid of control issues and specifically religious control issues, but to have a healthy understanding of oneself, one's abilities, and that we can grow, that we can transcend the base emotions that so many people have that are really like animals. You know, they're not evolved. And so that's my two cents worth.
I agree with you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
So interesting stuff. You know, I mean, I think this is a fascinating topic, and I think it really starts to get into what's kind of at the core of a lot of folks. They would recognize that, you know, don't spend your resources, your energy fighting who you are. You know, embrace who you are, but evolve, grow, tweak, adjust, bring in core values that make sense, not core values that perhaps you grew up with that don't make sense anymore. Be that positive force for awareness and growth and positivity. And, Lewis, you're going to have to answer the question about 8,270 people.
Well, this was a, what was it called? It was an experiment.
Maharishi effect.
Maharishi. Is that what it is? That I think that it happened during the 9/11 time, was it?
Oh, that was the random event generators.
Yes.
It's all connected. Basically, it's the Maharishi effect where, you know, if you a little bit over 8,000 people, and you can affect global consciousness. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes. And I truly do believe in that. I mean, we are energy in a lot of ways. Therefore, if we radiate it outwardly, other people who are perceptive to it may get it. And then they may become interested, just like I did, just like you did, just like Nancy has. I mean, it is a ripple effect. And I know that she asked if it was possible. Well, this is a testament that it is. You're here. I'm here. She called. So it is happening.
Mm-hmm.
So when all of us get together and we have a common purpose, remaining individuals within this common purpose, but when we have a common purpose and our collective consciousness gain momentum, watch out, world.
And, you know, that's why I call our current age the great age of enlightenment, specifically the ability to connect with one another via the internet, which I think is the greatest human invention, because it pulls like-minded people together, and it's basically made what we're doing right here and now possible. I would have never known you, Lewis, or Vicky, or anybody really here, and you would have not known me had it not been for this medium, for the internet. And I think we can use that to appeal and to attract like-minded people around the globe, people who want to see a better world and who are genuinely doing something on their own local level toward that end. They're having a positive effect on everyone within their sphere of influence. And that's all we need to do. We need to attract more of these folks, and we need to get more and more people educated, and we need to increase awareness so that these spheres of influence start to overlap. And once they all overlap, then guess what? We've, quote, conquered the world, unquote. So that's what we're trying to do here. All right, so what other thoughts or comments do you have, if any, Lewis, on ego, emotions, enlightenment?
Well, I just like to circle it back around. I think that it is extremely important that we begin to really to put all of these things in their place. I suggest that you try to catch yourself. And when I say you, I'm referring to the audience and whatnot. I suggest that you really try to start watching your vocabulary and start really separating the self from these tools and start doing it in simple manners. You know, I feel this, I feel that, rather than I am this and I am that, because eventually you'll become it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You think it, it goes over, your thoughts, they gain momentum, and you become it. You know, you are what you think, basically.
Amen. So control your thoughts, manage your thoughts. You know, what we're really talking about here is the dog wagging the tail, not the tail wagging the dog. We have to manage our lives. We have to manage who we are. We have a responsibility not only to be who we are, but to manage who we are, to be as good as we could be and as positive and a part of the solution rather than the problem. So excellent points, Lewis. So what's in your future? What are you planning to do within this type of subject matter?
Well, I'm going to continue to expand it as much as I can, probably do a lot of meaningful and serious research on the matter and see if I can just, you know, if I can just reach out one person with all of this and make that individual think. I don't want to teach him anything. I don't want to show them anything. But if I can just help that individual say, let me look into this, then I have helped somebody else. So all this experience, everything that I'm learning here, which, by the way, has been a life-changing experience since I came into the Metaphysical Institute, it is something that I'm going to continue to radiate elsewhere. It's like one of the articles that I wrote, why that everything that we are learning here, all this that we are experiencing right here and right now, must go through us, must continue and go on.
Excellent. If you'd like to read some of Lewis's writing, you can, if you're a church member, MCHS Church, you can log into the church forum, and there's a poster, and I know more will be coming, so, and more articles will be coming, too. We're redoing the site a little bit, and so that'll be upcoming sometime in the next few weeks anyway. Redesign that. Lewis, thanks so much for joining us tonight on the program and sharing some of your wisdom. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, everyone, and thank Existence for the opportunity.
Well, it's our pleasure and our honor. You have a great night, and we'll talk to you soon. We appreciate Nancy calling in and your comments there in the chat room as well. I hope I'm not still fading in and out. Sorry about that. Wish I could do something more. And, you know, before I go and wrap up this program, I meant to say this even before I got rid of Lewis, but I didn't really get rid of him. You're still there, right, Lewis?
I am, sir.
Yeah, and I just saw my notes here, and I apologize for not bringing in. But I want to read something that a student had written as part of one of their assignment papers in terms of enlightenment. And the answer is to the question, how can you embrace a higher level of enlightenment? And I want to read the student's answer, which I found to be brilliant. And I think it nailed it, and it really encompasses everything I teach. And this is what the student wrote. They wrote, I could reiterate the many lessons taught through this degree program to substantiate how I can embrace a higher level of enlightenment. But to be honest, the subject concept teaching that I consider most important is the power of self-acceptance. I truly believe that in self-acceptance is where everything starts. If I can learn to accept my perfectness, I can surely learn how to accept the perfectness of existence, or what is, and the perfectness in others as they are. Self-acceptance, in my opinion, serves as the foundation for everything else to be built on. Self-acceptance teaches me how to accept and love myself, and I can translate the experience into learning to accept and love others regardless of how they may or may not impact my life. Learning to love others whole and not in pieces is embracing a higher level of enlightenment. I found that to be a brilliant answer, and again, it encompasses everything that MCHS Church is about, everything IMHS is about, accepting yourself. Now, Lewis, does that seem familiar to you?
Just a little bit.
Yeah, because Lewis is the one who wrote it, and it's one of the reasons I wanted him on the program, because when you learn to accept yourself for who you are, everything changes. Is that not what your point is, Lewis?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, if you cannot look at yourself and say, okay, what I'm seeing in the mirror is who I am, and I accept myself with the good, the bad, the different, how can you accept the larger universe? How can you accept others? It's impossible. So it starts with you. It definitely starts with you.
Well, you nailed it there, and this time I will let you go, but man, thanks so much for being here, and thanks for being a student, and thanks for coming into my life. I know it's improved it. My best to you.
Thank you, sir.
All right, so now we're going to start wrapping things up a little bit. As we always do, please pause for a moment and send out some positive thoughts and energy to those who might need it, those who might be having a hard time. Now, next week, we have Dr. Ingrid Irwin from Australia. She'll join us to discuss her EVP research and the implications to death and consciousness. So, in fact, I consider Ingrid one of the foremost leading experts in the world on electronic voice phenomena. So, please join us next week. If you like what you've heard, tell others about the show. If you have a topic you'd like to discuss, let me know. If you like what you're hearing, please join us at the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science at mchschurch.org. And if you'd like to learn more, visit metaphysicsinstitute.org. Stay tuned for Living Free with Camille Edwards coming up next, followed by Dr. Vicky's Psychic Perspective. This is Doug Kelly encouraging you to listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Have a great week.
This has been Empower the Spirit with Dr. Douglas Kelly. To learn more about the concepts presented in this program, visit mchschurch.com. To take a metaphysics course or to get your metaphysics degree, visit metaphysicsinstitute.com.
Power of the Spirit is a production of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science, Incorporated.
And now, Living Free with Camille Edwards.
Well, hello, everyone. I don't know about you guys, but it's starting to get cool here in the Carolinas, and I hope most of you who have the benefit of the cool weather this time of year are enjoying this break that we're getting here in the Carolinas. It's just wonderful. It's actually my favorite time of year. I can't tell you how much I love it. I have to admit, this time of year brings me back to a wonderful memory that I have as a child when we had first moved from Florida to the foothills of the Blue Ridge Parkway. Now, this was in the spring of 1968, if that dates me, it does. But we had picked up our family and moved from Florida to the Blue Ridge Parkway to an old farmhouse. And the first thing my mom and I set out to do was to work on the gardens. And, you know, as an 8-year-old girl, going out in that garden every morning with my mom was the biggest and most fun thing I could possibly do. We would weed, we would plant our next garden, our next row, we would talk about the harvest, and we would just enjoy each other's company. It was just such a special time in my life. And after mom would say, okay, go on, do whatever it is you do, my brother and I, Leo, would take off, and down the hill we would go, and we would jump into the Saluda River. Now, I know this is unheard of today, two kids going swimming by themselves, but the Saluda River is this red, murky, grayish water, swirling eddies, or tidal pools as we called them. It was a river that most mothers would be horrified, but it was a different time and era. And after we would swim all day on the swim in the Saluda, and we would swing out over the Saluda on a rope that my dad had tied to an old willow tree, and we'd drop into those murky waters. We thought nothing of it, and our clothes would actually turn red from the water. It was just so much fun. After we came out of the river, we'd dry off from the heat of the summer, and across the street we'd go to the creek. And there in the creek, we would spend the rest of the afternoon capturing salamanders and crawdads. We call them crawdaddies. In the creek, we would build dams. We would then, once we finished with that, we would just go in the woods and eat our fill of wild blueberries, wild plums, blackberries, you name it. We had it. It was just, like I said, I can't say it enough. It was the best of time. Now, give you a little history of where I come from. When we lived in Florida, our family was very close to the church and the community there in Florida. And my father actually helped build the church. And while the church was being built, our priest lived with us. So he lost his family when we picked up and moved. And what he did one day out of the blue, the fall had started coming, and this priest just loved our family so much. At one point in time, we actually had 12 foster kids. And we lived in an 1,100 square foot block home in Florida, a total of 14 people. He chose to come live with us while the church was being built. Lord knows why, but he did. And as a little 8-year-old girl, I just adored Father Lowe. He was the most wonderful thing in the world to me. And to get back to the farm, he missed us dearly, so he decided he was going to come see us. And so one fall day, as my mom and I were doing our afternoon walk, enjoying the smells of the fall, you know, the yellow leaves, the orange leaves, the brown leaves, and then you smell that earthy smell that comes with fall. And we were walking up the hill when I saw Father Lowe coming down the mountain. And back then, the priest wore those black robes. And as he was walking, he was taking such big footsteps, the robes were swinging and billowing around him, and it was just like a dream come true. And I broke away from my mom, and I ran up the hill screaming, "Father Lowe, Father Lowe!" And as I ran into his arms, he picked me up and spun me around. And in that brief moment, as he was spinning me, of course, I told him about the whole summer, only as an 8-year-old child can. And as he put me down, I said, "Guess what, Father Lowe? Guess what?" And he said, "What, Camille, what?" And I said, "Father Lowe, Mom says I'm the best hoer in town." He stops, and he looks at my little tiny redheaded mom, and who had finally made it up the hill, and he said, "Audrey, what have you been teaching this child?" And now Father Lowe is from Ireland, and he's a big, tall, whiskey-drinking man with that very, very Irish accent. So you can imagine him saying this to my little tiny redheaded mom. Now, a little history about my mom. My mom was actually raised in a convent, so anything and everything that had to do with the word sex would just turn her blood red. So immediately her face turned the color of her red hair. She was just mortified that I would say that to our priest. And you know, it was just the funniest moment. And, of course, he knew what I had meant, but he couldn't wait for the opportunity to rub that in Mom's face. Now, later that day, as he was sitting down at the table, my mom put a glass of wine in front of him. And she said, "Now, Father Lowe," she said, "I know you enjoy your whiskey," she said, "but in our house, we don't have whiskey. This is homemade wine. Camille and I made it this summer." And he looked at it with some contempt because he is an whiskey-drinking man. Anyway, he proceeded to drink it like it was Kool-Aid. Needless to say, Father Lowe woke up a day and a half later with a heck of a headache. And if Mom had known about kudzu at the time, she would have made him a cup of kudzu tea or given him some kudzu root tincture. Kudzu is a vine here in the South. It goes by several names: a foot a night vine, a mile a minute vine, or the vine that ate the South. Now, kudzu, the Latin name, and I don't know if I'm saying this correctly or not, is Pereria lobata. And it's a very evasive vine that just covers everything. And in China and Japan, the vine is used as a starch food, and it is also used to treat alcoholism, diabetes 2, stomach irritations, and even deafness, though that hasn't been scientifically proven. Also known, kudzu is also known for working on migraines and cluster headaches, and that is scientifically proven. It's just an amazing plant, and it does grow everywhere. It just takes over everything, but it has a tendency to die out every 5 years, and then all of a sudden it restarts somewhere else. The vine can also make beautiful, beautiful baskets. The Native Americans and the Asian culture makes beautiful, beautiful baskets with it. And the fibers of the vine are also used to make kimonos. Now, that was interesting when I read that. Now, I used to have Shire horses, which are the world's largest breed of horses, and after workouts, you could give them kudzu to eat because it's very, very high in protein. And you can make things like kudzu jelly. People actually make kudzu jelly and enjoy it. Now, here in the U.S., we set about to immediately eradicate kudzu to get rid of it, whereas in the Asian countries, they set out how to best utilize this evasive weed, and they succeeded. It's just, you know, different cultures. And unfortunately, a lot of those plants out there that we call weeds are actually good medicine plants. It's just we need to change our attitude. When we see a weed growing, we need to look at it as, what gift can this weed bring to us? And you would be amazed. The dandelion, the chickweed, even chickweed is an amazing weed. And I can't tell you how many gardeners hate chickweed. And believe it or not, you can eat chickweed. It is a wonderful plant to eat. It actually tastes good. It makes a very good paste to put on your crackers. We love it. We put garlic in it and olive oil. You can't beat it. You can't beat it. And we just love it so much. And, you know, getting back to Father Lowe and his visit to the farmhouse, he was just amazed at how strong our grape wine was. And I can remember, I actually even smashed those grapes with my own feet. Now, that part I don't think he knew, but I really enjoyed that part. And like I said, had he known about kudzu, he would have taken the two pills before starting to drink. And, you know, that's not me saying do that to get drunk, but it's just a known trick in Asian cultures. And will it stop you from getting drunk? No. No, it will not. So no one should ever drink to get drunk. But, you know, kudzu is there to help stave off the effects of having too much alcohol. And it's also used for treating blood pressure. Let's see. I have a list here. It actually is used to treat blood pressure in the Asian countries as well. It's just, when I started reading about kudzu, I was really amazed at all the benefits of it. And I just never even envisioned a weed having so many properties once I started studying about herbalism. And it's just amazing what I have discovered on my voyage as an herbalist. So the next time you look at a weed, just think about what it can do for you. And go, you know, go to your computer, type it in, say, dandelion, what good is dandelion for me? What good is kudzu? What good is chickweed? And let's see, there's a lot of information I can give you out there. And I think going forward with the cool weather coming, we're going to focus on what can you do to keep away those flu and cold viruses over the summer, over the fall and winter months, because sometimes just eating the proper foods can help keep those pesky little irritations away from you. And I hopefully will be able to come up with some very helpful advice on all that. The funny thing about Father Lowe, as my time gets ready to run out here, is he left the priesthood after visiting the farm. He left the priesthood. He got married, had 7 children, and last we heard, he had actually returned to the church because he was so devoted to his faith that he could not give it up. And he actually became a priest again in the Catholic Church, but as a married priest. So he did find a way around it. And the more I think about it, Father Lowe came to our house a lot. And, oh, look, somebody just wrote about Greenville, South Carolina. Guess what? I lived in Greenville, South Carolina. And, in fact, Marietta Dacusville is where I hailed from when I was living in the foothills of the mountains. So that's interesting, John, very interesting. And it says, I figured you might have stomped the grapes with your feet. The vineyard resort in Greenville used to be an actual vineyard that was owned by my grandfather Hightower. That's, I'll be darned. We know the name Hightowers. That's amazing. It's a small world, John, very small world. We have that connection there. Yeah, you did do a lot of wine stomping. But I'm just amazed by what John wrote. I went to Greenville Senior High. That's amazing. So it's a small world out there. And once again, the grape wine, the Concord grape wine, John can probably follow up on this. It's very high in antioxidants. You don't want to drink it to get drunk, like I said, but if you're going to drink anything, you know, drink red wine, drink your dark wines. And it can be used to help you with your blood pressure and also build up your antioxidants. It's just amazing what we have out there. John, I'm just a little amazed at what you just wrote. But I can't say enough good things about my herbal world, and I hopefully I'll be able to share that with you as we go forward. And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to send me an email, and I'll be more than happy to answer any questions that you have. I look forward to next week's show, and everyone, live well and live free. This has been Camille. Good night.
Tune in next week for another interesting topic on Living Free with Camille Edwards. MCHS does not intend to prescribe, recommend, or otherwise treat illnesses or afflictions. If you're ill, please see your medical practitioner for a diagnosis and any medicinal prescriptions, doses, or treatments. It's been reported that some herbs may interfere with surgery. If you're currently on any medication or herbal products, please advise your doctor or dentist at first point of contact.
This is the MCHS Educational Network. Please visit us at mchschurch.org. This is Dr. Vicki's Psychic Perspective on the MCHS Educational Network. And now, Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition on Sunday evening, Dr. Vicki's Psychic Perspective. You absolutely know by now, for those who have been with us in previous weeks, that you're free to write your questions in the chat room. You can call in and we'll be happy to talk to you, 714-459-3973. Any questions that you might have a little later on, please give us a call, write us a chat. It's been a great show tonight with Lewis and Camille, and now we also are going to talk for a few moments with another guest, Dr. Catherine Hutton, in a moment. Catherine is a graduate of IMHS. She's also a reverend. She's ordained with MCHS Church. Catherine's been through a long ways in this program, and we're really glad to have her on the show tonight just to tell us a little bit about her journey and any suggestions or little hints that Catherine might have as well. Hello, Catherine. Are you there?
Hi, Vicki. I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
Absolutely. Good to have you on the show. We've talked about
it. It's great to be here. Yes, it's a little nerve-wracking the first time. I can imagine how Camille felt.
Well, you know, everybody's doing a great job. And, you know, Catherine, it excites me to have such participation from everyone. And it makes us all feel like we're a little more connected and belonging. And that's why it's such a pleasure to have you on the show tonight, too. You've had quite a journey through this. You graduated recently. When was that, Camille? Or Catherine, sorry. When did you graduate?
Oh, now you got me on the spot.
When
was that?
It was in the last
not that long
months.
Ago.
Yeah. What brought you, maybe share with our listeners.
Yes, and it was. You're fading in and out on me.
Well, I really think it's Blog Talk Radio, too. And Doug and I had a little anxiety attack before showtime to get my sound working, so I'm hoping we can work through this and weather the ups and downs here a little bit. So, again, what was your journey? Can you tell us a little bit about your journey, Catherine?
You can hear me okay, right?
Yes, we can hear you fine. Okay. At least I can.
Well, my journey started about 5 years ago, and I was going through an alcoholic relationship at the time. And I was doing a lot of searching to find ways to resolve that kind of a relationship when I came across another website Doug had called Empowered Recovery. And there he gives very sound, grounded advice on how to deal with an alcoholic relationship. And through that is how I met Doug. And I did end up resolving my alcoholic relationship.
Congratulations.
And, yeah. it wasn't easy, and it's never easy.
Yeah,
so
understand.
Leaving an alcoholic relationship is just the first step of a long journey to understanding more about yourself. Doug had directed me, introduced me to the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science. And when I first started, I had no idea what metaphysics was. Not a clue. I began to learn about it. And what I found was that it was a great way to discover things about yourself. Not
Wonderful.
Just the world beyond yourself, but the world within yourself. And so I took that journey, and over the course of about over a year, I learned about myself and what made me tick. And what I found was A lot of people have different definitions for metaphysics. Are you there, Vicki?
Yeah, they sure do have a lot of definitions for metaphysics. A lot of people misunderstand what metaphysics means. So you're on the right track there as far as I'm concerned, Catherine.
I'd like to share this with you. It was something I found on the internet, actually.
Sure.
For the person's definition of metaphysics was, it attempts to tell what anything must be like in order to be at all. My biggest question was, how can I tell what everything is about if I cannot tell what I am about? I, the one he should know all about, as opposed to everything else, which I know nothing about. So I had to understand why I do what I do and why I think what I think. And I figured if I could understand this and get a greater understanding of myself, I could go on to understand the world around me, because I am the creator of my external world. And that's what I...
Very well said. No, very, very well said, Catherine. Continue, please. It's beautiful what you just said. It resonates. It's very exciting to hear.
So then through my journey, learning about myself, so here I was completing this course, well, many courses, and the greatest thing that Doug encourages all his students is think for yourself.
He sure does.
Yes. And sometimes I would get a headache because I do think a lot. But, you know, when we grow up, we're always told what to think, what to say, what to wear, what to do, what we shouldn't do. And we're really not taught or encouraged to think for ourselves.
That's true.
So if you're brought up in a dysfunctional family, which I'm sure 90% of us were in one way or another, you're thinking based on dysfunctional thinking, because that's what everyone is telling you what to think. So things that you see, they say, oh, no, that's, you didn't see that. So you learn denial rather than trusting yourself and questioning things. So you end up growing up with a certain mind frame and never trusting yourself.
True.
This course has taught me a lot to trust myself, to learn to understand myself, question why I do the things I do. And from that, I have found a greater awareness of myself, and have redefined myself, redefined how I want to live. So then after learning that part of it, I felt, okay, I have to go on now and be something, there's something great in the world that, and yet I felt I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what that would be. So I really struggled with that. And then it dawned on me, if I'm supposed to be myself, I have to find what my purpose is, mine alone, and go after that, because that will lead me into greater things. So what I found for myself was looking at how I was when I was a child, I could see a pattern. I could see the things that I enjoyed. What I'm trying to get at, Vicki, is Doug once asked me, what do you call a good day?
Good question.
And I said, I don't know. I had no idea. Because I was living my life according to what everybody else said I should be doing, or I believed they thought I should be doing. So one day I realized, you know, when I look back, when I was growing up, when I was happiest, what was I doing? And I realized that's what made me happiest. So I'm actually able to do now what I used to do that I found very fulfilling and made me happy. And it's creating a better environment within my local area.
Good for you.
It's not, I think a lot of people think metaphysics is this wild and weird or something,
oh, well.
You know?
Yeah, they sure do.
but it's not. It's finding your purpose, whatever that purpose is, and not defined by anyone else. It's to do good, do no harm, right, and do good, but in a way that you were created to do it. So what I want to be able to offer is an example.
Well, everything that you're saying is a wonderful example, Catherine. It is. It's right from the heart. And I know a lot of people can totally relate to what you're saying. It's a wonderful thing that you're sharing.
Well, thank you, Vicki. But I think when people ask you things, right? Let's say someone wants your advice. You're going to give them from your perspective how you see something, right? I mean, that's what we
sure.
all do, right?
Yeah.
We all do
yeah.
that. And they're going to take it or leave it. And then, of course, if they don't take it, you know, there could be mixed feelings about things between the two, right? But I think the best thing is to not give advice, but show by example. If people learn from reading and pick up what they need for themselves and can take that information and make their lives better, which in turn can make other people's lives better, then they can also learn from observing. You know, they say if you want to learn how to be rich, let's say, observe the rich people. What are they doing that you're not doing? Right? Observe and learn. You could probably go and ask them, well, what are you doing? But sometimes they may not know. They're just doing. So if you watch them and learn from example. So the best thing I think we can do is give examples. If we live our lives the way that we want other people to see as a good example, and we're doing what makes us happy, I think that's a great service we can give other people.
Well, we all need to step into being a good example of who we truly want to be. And that's, I think, the honesty that we have with ourselves. I mean, I only answered to me about me, really. And if I believed, mm-hmm. you know, again, back to the, you know, do no harm, do right, and I live in that to the best of my ability, that is setting a good example. And I can't always mm-hmm. know, I can't always know if somebody else is going to benefit from that. I know I benefit from that because I can live with myself. You know,
that's right. And it's funny you say that, Vicki, because we don't know who's watching.
This is true. You know, and we
Hello?
Don't know. I'm here.
Okay.
Right there. I think that also, you know, even something as
yeah.
simple as you know, smiling to somebody in a shopping center, and very often, you know, kids are just wonderful. And if you just smile at a child, you don't know what kind of an impact that can have. And especially, you know, having that little bit of an interaction at the checkout counter, for instance. And then you get to look at the mom, you know,
mm-hmm.
and you smile at the
That's
mom.
True.
And whatever we can use that helps us bridge that energy between each other. And using, again, what I say is whatever tool is available that sometimes doesn't make people feel uncomfortable either. You know, we want to do it in a good way. But just that little bit of friendliness, to set an example of friendliness, even when folks ain't in such
That's
a good
right.
mood, you know, and to handle situations to the best of our ability. I think what you're saying in your own way, which is a Catherine
mm-hmm.
way, which is a perfect way for you, is also setting an example to others. So just coming on the show, Catherine, sharing your story, that's another way that we participate. You know, we actually get involved. We reach out a little bit and just dare to share who we are that may or may not set an example for other folks, but I believe it does. You believe it does. I know Doug does. And I think that anyone listening to the show would concur with that, that it sets such a wonderful example for you to be as honest as you are, speaking your truth, telling the journey, sharing the journey. That's the example, Catherine. And my hat's off to you. I mean, I think it's a wonderful thing that you've even done yourself this evening. So hopefully people are really picking up on that. When you, I was going to ask you a question, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So in your journey, because I know a lot of people really need to hear this, in your journey, you have at this point, I understand, not to work in the field of metaphysics, but just benefit from your studies to improve yourself and to continue working just in your life as you go and decide things as you happen. I think the reason I'm asking this, Catherine, is so many people think if they study, that means they have to do something with it. Or if they go to a course or a class, they have to do something with it. They have to be smart and clever and teach and pursue and counsel and whatever. But I think what we're hearing from you, which I love, is that just be you, and it doesn't mean you have to do anything with it except be more of you.
Yeah. Well, I hear what you're saying, Vic, and I agree, but I would like to expand on it.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. We can go to school, let's say, for train as a nurse. So when you finish that, you go out and specifically you're going to be a nurse. Right? But metaphysics is undefined. It's unlimited. So to say that I'm not going to go off into a metaphysical field, I don't think there's such a thing. Hmm. I think if you have been able to accomplish self-discovery, respect for free will, the paragon.
Perfect.
You are going out into the world in a metaphysical force.
Very well said.
And that's why I wanted to expand.
I hadn't thought of it in that way. And this, I love this show. I love this program. I love the discussion because you gave, it's a paradigm, right? It's a view of thinking that you're taking yourself into the world just in that way. That's a great point. Really is.
I want to be one of the 8,000 Lewis talked about.
Oh, 8,270.
Oh, then I'll be number 70.
We're recruiting everybody. Take note. We're recruiting.
Yeah.
Ah, very well said.
I think that's what it's about, Vicki. It's about living life to the fullest to benefit not only yourself but the world on a whole, and it is a ripple effect.
It certainly is. Yes, it certainly is. Thank you so much, Catherine. We really appreciate you coming on the show tonight. It's just the energy is just nice and light and uplifting, and sharing your stories uplifting. And I just can't thank you enough. I know that Doug Kelly's in the background there listening himself. Doug, do you want to join us for a moment? Is there anything that you might like to add or any comments, questions while we have Catherine still on the line?
Yeah, I'd like to say that you've made some great points, Kathy. I love that last one about being a metaphysical force going out into the world, you know. That's awesome. I mean, it's
but that's
so
how it feels, Doug.
And you're a smart person, and you know Kathy was one of the first to go through the degree program, and she did a lot of the courses, and you know had a lot of really brilliant papers, and her dissertation, which can be read on mchschurch.org, you know, regarding drawing comparisons between The Wizard of Oz and just one self-concept is, you know, it was excellent. So I would recommend people go and read it. It's on mchschurch.org. I'll tell you that Dreams, A Doorway to Enlightenment. It's listed on the front page there, down toward the bottom, simply because the articles are listed, not with the most recent first, but with the oldest first. So go down there and click on that and read it. It's excellent.
And congratulations.
So if I can make one last point to any students right now.
Absolutely. Oh.
Go ahead.
Are you there, Vicki?
Yes, absolutely. I'm here.
I just wanted to say any students that are enrolled, okay, any students enrolled right now that have sort of, you know, kind of sat back a little bit on pursuing their courses, I'd like to say don't give up. If you give up, you're giving up on the only person that counts, and that's you. So keep at it. Keep at it. You will bear the fruits of your labors.
Well said. Well said. Thank you so much, Catherine.
Thank you for having me, Vicki.
And congratulations again on your achievements and your accomplishments along the way, and for your little insights and good advice to our listeners and other members and students of MCHS and IMHS. So thanks so much.
Thank you, Vicki. Have a good night.
Have a good night, Catherine.
Thank you.
Well, Doug Kelly, it's been one heck of a show. It's been enlightening, first of all, speaking with Lewis, who's wonderful, I might add. Just a wonderful man.
Yeah.
He is. Brilliant.
Yes, he is.
And,
he is.
Of course, Camille, with, you know, her more insights into, I just keep thinking there's got to be an edge on this herb business that we can somehow, you know, go out. I want to go pick herbs. Suddenly.
Go to England to pick herbs and come to America to pick herbs.
Pick herbs, yeah. So does anybody have any questions at this point? Anything you want to put into the chat room or anyone want to phone in? If you want any insights to your life, that's why I'm here. Anything that, any questions that you might have. Meanwhile, something that I would certainly like to talk about for a moment, which kind of ties into everything that, you know, we've been addressing tonight, is emotions will rule the show. Emotions cloud your intuition. Emotions will not let you think straight. Emotions will, you know, the thing about, even for all the good thinking that we have, if we're highly charged emotionally, that thinking is going to go through the emotional center. And so if there's ways that you can build your own intuition or your own senses of things, and it's to balance the emotions. You know, it's very much in line with what Lewis and Doug were talking earlier, that if we stay balanced, then we have a better insight to things. We can read energy better. Our intuitions are more active. So if I have any advice that I might be able to add for this evening, it's it's managing the emotions. I know that if I am the least bit emotionally attached to an outcome, I don't get it. It's always some kind of a skewed view. So that objectivity, when I sit with clients, I have to be absolutely in that quiet, peaceful place and undivided attention, no distractions, nothing from my life before the session or anything that will happen after can enter into that time period. It's about being present in the moment, being with somebody in that fullness of self where you're completely devoted to the experience. And I think that's what it is to be balanced and present, to be here now. So it's like when I'm here on talking with you now, I'm not thinking, which I can make stuff up now, I'm not thinking about the dogs or the cats, and I'm not thinking about, you know, what I'm going to do tomorrow, and I'm not thinking about what happened yesterday. Because those are also not just thought distractions, they're emotional distractions because it's emotionally charged. It's stress. So stress ties into the emotions, and it can very easily take us away from experiencing the fullness of a moment. So if I have anything to offer in tonight, which I think is still in keeping with what Catherine has offered, Lewis has offered, Doug's offered, and Camille, it's that we must be in the moment, in a balanced place, a balanced state, as well as possible. I know it's not always possible, but you go with the flow, and we have all these wonderful ingredients in us that we can access when we need them. But if we don't need them, why are we in them? So it's very often when I've, you know, talked to people about life skills and having this really powerful life skill, you know, such as that, you know, go get 'em kind of thing, I say, well, that's great. That's a wonderful quality to have, but you don't need it at this moment. You can call on that power, that force, that energy, anytime you need it. You just don't need it in this moment. And this is another way to start to, you know, recognize, or, you know, at least have that recognition capability of those qualities in us that we can call upon at any given moment that helps us through any kind of situation in our lives. So we all have those skills, but keeping it in balance. Doug, is there anything you'd like to offer up at this point in the show?
No, it's been a good show. Well, I might. You never know. I can always talk about something. But it's been a good show. A lot of good expressions, a lot of good insights from Lewis and from Camille and from Kathy and from you, of course. And, you know, I just want to encourage people who are listening either live or the archive to really, you know, delve into it. Look into what MCHS Church is offering, if you haven't already. You know, it's a healthy way. It's a healthy alternative to what's out there. And, you know, we're trying to make a positive difference in a healthy way on this planet. And, you know, we're looking for people of like mind to join in with us and make a positive difference.
Do you think we can get to the 8,270? That's going to be our new target, you know.
Yeah. I think we can, of course. You know, time, obviously, a factor. But, you know, it's also important for those who do identify with what we're doing to tell others as appropriate and spread the word as appropriate and help others to learn some of this stuff, too.
Well, and that's also being an example of who we are, to feel free to share who we are as appropriate, of course, not infringing on anyone else's, you know, respect for free will and their opinions. But, you know, to share about MCHS and our evening Sunday evening programs, you know, spread the word. It's just, even if it conjures up, even if something tonight was said that can inspire a conversation in your workplace tomorrow, or something during the week that you might, a discussion you might have with your relationship, your spouse, your children, just anything from tonight that could inspire a conversation is another way that we share what we're doing, what we're attempting to share here with everyone. But it relies on other people. It is that ripple effect. So everybody doing their part.
Yes, it is. And, you know, I could sit here all night long and talk about the benefits of this, and I don't want to repeat or just go on and on, but, yeah. You know, again, we're trying to do a good thing here, and we're trying to spread it around, and it just takes a little time and people helping. It's not one person who does this. It's a bunch of people who do this, and we appreciate everybody's efforts to help.
Yeah. Thank you very much, everyone. Once again, we'll be back next week. Absolutely, we'll be here with another great show lined up for you. Next week, I'm going to talk to you about a new program that I'm putting up on IMHS called Principles for Natural Laws and Learning. I'm going to tell you a little bit about that, what's involved, and give you a little peek into some really good thinking to behavior skills. So thanks again for joining us. Please send white lights and all good thoughts to all your friends and family and everyone else you don't know. So good night. Have a good week.